Hare Krishna, everyone. We like to cordially invite you or welcome you to the Sangha Mela 2022. We are very happy to start with this beautiful Katha festival. I was remembering how in ancient time sadhus would travel great distances.
Recording in progress.
They will go and meet under a big banyan tree, and there they will hear from saintly persons about Srimad Bhagavatam, about the Absolute Truth, about the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And even a few years ago, we used to do that here in Goloka Dham for our festival, when we would have great amount of devotees coming, sitting all very close to each other in the temple room, and listening to the topics of Krishna. Now, unfortunately, because of the COVID situation, we need to do it in different way. We do it now online. And it's a little bit more challenging, because at the time, those saintly persons, they would hear about the topics of Krishna with great eagerness and with great urgency. And now when we are in our own homes and we follow that online, the mood might be a little bit different, but we hope that still we will all be able to open our hearts big and listen to the topic with great attention and great eagerness. So just a few small information before I hand it over to Isolina Sachinandana Swami to start with the program. The first one is questions and answer. In case you would like to have questions and answer during the session, please write us on the chat. It can be sent directly to me, as Golhari does, Goloka Dham, or to Ekanti. And then we will sort out the question, and then we will ask you at the end to personally speak out the question and to Isolina Sachinandana Swami. Another information for those of you who would like to have a German translation or Russian translation, Ekanti Mataji will send some links on the chat where you can see in which way you can connect and have the translation. And so we are ready to start. It will be an exciting journey during those few days. The topic of the entire Sangha Mela is connected to divine aspirations. And yeah, we look forward, and I will now hand it to His Holiness Sachinandana Swami for the continuation. Welcome, His Holiness Sachinandana Swami. Very nice that you are here.
Hare Krishna. First of all, am I clearly audible? Guru Hari, can you maybe just give me a nod or say if I can, if everyone can clearly hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Guru.
Very, very, very good. Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to participate in this Sangha Mela festival. I had actually made firm plans to come to Goloka Dham in person, but because I was before in London, and there was really an outbreak, I can say, one after the other fell on the ground, I decided to be careful this time. I myself am all right. I have no symptoms of a cold or any other symptoms. But yes, we have to be careful to respect the possibilities of infection. I'm praying for two devotees at the present moment in Goloka Dham. One of them is fighting for their life in a hospital. So I thought, let us be careful with big gatherings. At the same time, it is so important to hear about Krishna it's so important to think about Krishna consciousness on a deep existential level that somehow this is as important as it is to stay physically alive. Maybe from a spiritual perspective, it's most important to stay spiritually alive. So therefore, yes, let us have this as a festival, Sangamela festival, where there is a lot of inspiration, where there is a lot of, let us say, motivation and a lot of spiritual strength that is communicated. I must say that is something that I require Gokrishna's help. Good, now it's perfect. I developed the subject matter of divine aspirations because of meeting many devotees and talking with them and hearing from them about their lives. And just in London, I met one of my closer devotee friends who brought me to his writing table, and he said, "Look, my writing table is full with unanswered letters, with bills I have to pay." And I noticed there were things piling up with outlines of different projects in which I'm part. But really, when I go to my writing table, he said, I don't feel very enthusiastic. In fact, I feel stuck. And then he gave me an analogy. He said, have you ever been to these big apartment houses and you climb up the staircase and you reach the sixth floor and then all of a sudden you notice, oops, all this is in vain really, because I went up the wrong staircase. I should have entered in number 5, but I made a mistake. I entered in number 7, and now all this work which I have done climbing up the staircase will not bring me to the desired address. I told him I have met many people in this fast living society. People reach the top of their academic career. They get rises in the job. They even manage to get a lot of likes on the Facebook. They climb up, but only to find out this is not what will bring me happiness in life. There's one very nice author whom I've read in my childhood, C.S. Lewis. He says, the fact that I have still desires which the world can't fulfill indicates that maybe I belong to another world. In his paper on motivation, Mr. Maslow wrote very, very interestingly about the hierarchy of needs. He says, first, we fulfill needs, and I will interpret him a little bit in a Krishna conscious way, which have to do with our physical needs, our biological needs and physiological needs. We have needs for food, for a roof over the head, for clothing, and such basic necessity. And then we also require some safety, some security, some health, some stability, some little comfort, and so on. But when these are fulfilled, he says, we go to other needs, the needs of the mind, is my interpretation. We look for love, for belonging, for family, for a sense of belonging to some group, which we can call our tribe, our people, and so on. And there we require some respect, some status, some recognition, maybe a sense that after all I'm not worthless, I have achieved something in life. These are needs of the mind. So there are needs of the body, for which are biological, then, and which refer to safety. And there are needs of the mind, which belong, which have to do with love, belonging, maybe respect or some esteem and so on. But even when all these are fulfilled, there is a need which still needs to be addressed. The need of, he calls it, self-actualization, or we would say self-realization. I return to C.S. Lewis. He said, the fact that I have so many desires which the world can't fulfill indicates maybe that I belong to another world. Now, in Krishna consciousness, we have a little different approach to this. We feel that both the body, and that means physical needs, and the mind, and that are coverings of the soul. And we feel that we should start with fulfilling the need of the soul in the first place, and then also taking care of the body and the mind. Our perspective is a little bit like this. Let the driver of a car take first care of himself. He should be nourished. Then he can, because he needs to go somewhere, and he needs to operate with the car in this world, then he can take care of the physical need, and let me add here, the mental need, the needs of the mind. So we turn the pyramid of needs around, but we acknowledge that first there are spiritual needs, which are very important. Prabhupada would say about this perspective that you can polish the cage of a bird as much as you want. If you don't nourish the bird inside, it will die and will be very, very, let me say, will be in a big problem. So our emphasis is spirit first, matter second. However, I think as a movement, we have also had to face the fact that not so many of our members are happy with this philosophy. They are still beginners in spiritual life, so they need to see that their physical existence is well taken care of. Anyways, no matter what is your perspective, if you say, let me first take care of the body and the mind, and then of the soul, or if you say, let me first take care of the soul and then of the body and the mind. The care of the soul is always to be looked upon. It is always taken into account for everyone, no matter what is, if he is a beginning spiritualist or if he is already accomplished and knows that he is not the body, but he is an eternal soul. It needs to be accounted for. In my little seminar, I would like to address a little bit the man in London who felt he has taken care of so many things in his life, but he has climbed the ladder of successes in so many areas and so many fields, professional, personal, individual, but he has felt that he has not reached full satisfaction. I would like to speak today how we can develop our true spiritual aspirations and how we can fulfill them. There is a beautiful saying in Germany, in German language, wenn du nicht deine Sehnsucht erfüllst, wirst du bei Süchten enden. I want to say it in English. If you do not take care of your sacred longings, you will end in the unlimited world of longings, where you cannot have satisfaction, no matter how much you try, because you have not taken care of the self. How do we develop divine aspirations? At the moment, the soul is surrounded with the material atmosphere, and its potential of desire has been diverted to the physical and the mental level. Srila Prabhupada gave us the analogy of a prisma, that is a little glass triangle. When you put light, a ray of light, into a prisma, it becomes blue, red, yellow, three colors, the complementary colors. Some of you who are more learned than me will know. The pure white line, a light, will all of a sudden have a blue and a yellowish and a red hue. And then it will also, it will be diverted. The light comes here, zip, hits on the prisma. This is a prisma. And then, oops, I can't do it so well because, I have to think. It becomes diverted in another direction. So this is how we feel in this material world. Our desire, the potentiality of desire, becomes diverted to the body and to the mind. And no matter how much we try to run after the fulfillment of these desires, we just cannot be satisfied. Srila Prabhupada gave us another example to convince us. He gave us the example of the musk deer who develops the scent of musk in a gland which is just situated above the navel. And he smells it and feels good, 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 good. What a wonderful smell. And then he runs in the forest to find the source of the smell, but no matter how much he runs, if he does not realize it's here, it's inside, it's with me. The fulfillment of finding Musk will totally evade him. So our desires, this is my little summary of this first part, are at the moment diverted. They are distracted. They are placed on physical and mental satisfaction, which always evades us, which is never to be reached, because as long as we don't go inside and understand, it's the soul which desires, and it's the soul's desire that we have to satisfy, then our life will be miserable. So developing divine aspirations. My dear devotees, I have for a long time thought about it, because those who know me a little bit know that I'm a man with emotions. I'm a man with creativity. I'm a man with energy who needs to put his energy somewhere. I am a man of the imagination, of the fantasy. I need to have something in my mind to be satisfied in life. And I have often thought, oh, Satchinandan Swami, there are so many voices in you, so many voices that call out for attention and satisfaction. You know by now, only if you follow the voice of the soul will you become satisfied. But how do you develop this voice? This voice is often very silent. It is not so loud as the voices of the senses. Give me something to eat, please. The voice of the soul is sometimes silent. When the mind says, I need some entertainment, some good new book, you know, give me Sigi Jung or someone who can think in a creative way and address life from various perspectives. The voice of the soul is there, and he says, you know, these things not satisfying. It's like looking for water in the desert. It's like the vain search of the musk deer for the musk outside of him. You need to find what I really long for, that is love, divine love, not ending love. I would like to introduce to you a great personality, the leader of our sampradaya. We are called Rupanuga Vaishnavas, who has written books and poems about developing this divine aspiration, to increase the volume, so to say, of the voice of the soul. And his last work, from which we will be reading and discussing in my seminar, is called The Vine of Divine Aspirations, in Sanskrit, Utkalika Valari. A vine, or a creeper, winds his way up by taking help from the support of a tree, or so on. So divine aspirations also need to take support in order to really become strong. And here's the work of Rupa Goswami is for me that support. Perhaps some of you know that once a year I stop everything which I do, even in lockdown, I do this, and I go on a personal retreat where I try to find my soul and its aspirations and fulfill them. I've done this now already since, more than 25 years. It's a time of the year which I'm looking forward to the rest of the year. It's a time of the year where I feel where I feel more than at any other time in contact with myself. It's a time of the year where I also have to face how advanced I really am, and sometimes I see that there is still so much darkness, but I believe that only by facing darkness the light of spiritual insight can come. So I'm not afraid to face this reality, although it is painful. This year in Kartik, I went to the sacred land of Vrindavan, which was a miracle in itself that I could go there. Somehow, by the help of devotees, I could get a visa that could give me entry. And I still remember I came with a car from the Delhi airport and arrived just in time for the Mangal Aarti. When we came under the gate, the Bhaktivedanta Swami gate, which is at the entrance of Vrindavan town, I saw a river of devotees almost going to the Prabhupada Samadhi Mandi for the early morning arati, and we just needed to jump out of the car and get into the river, and we came before Prabhupada. The next station of the devotees were Gornitai and the Krishna Balaram temple, then Krishna Balaram, and finally Radha Syam Sunda. So I was swept, if you so want, upon entering Vrindavan, I was swept by the current of devotees when I finally stood before Radha Syam Sunda. And I cannot describe to you. My first question was, is this a dream? Or is that a dream? Is my standing here before the deities, praying to the deities, is that really real? Or is my being in the West, doing so many things like writing books, publishing books, giving lectures, writing letters, trying to be helpful in the spiritual growth of others. Is that real? I know that most of you would like both is real, but at that moment I felt there was the greatest substance, the greatest amount of satisfaction in my standing before Radha Syam Sunda and conversing with them, because this was done by the self, the soul, and I'm most real in my life, most authentic, if you so want, most connected with who I am when I'm on that spiritual level, and when that is really alive, when it is really fed by all the parts of my personality. Yes, it was a wonderful time in Vrindavan. And there was one time which I would like to share with you, one day and experience, where I felt Krishna spoke to me through science. There's a science, it's one of the 64 arts which Krishna learned, that is to see through science. And yes, it was one morning, my assistant screamed and said, "Guru Maharaj, don't leave your room." Whenever someone says to me, "Don't leave your room," then this is for me a must to leave my room, because maybe there's something interesting to see. So I left the room and I saw a huge snake, very fat snake. The snake came up, looked at me with that expression, "Now look what I'm going to do." And then it went to one of the small trees. It went in between two branches. It was one of these low growing champak trees, and just shed its old skin. I still have a picture, a photo of that long old skin. And then he continued to go somewhere else. He's known in the colony as the fat snake, because it eats rats, not human beings, so it's not after humans. But it was after me. It wanted to show me there is a possibility in life to come more in contact with yourself by shedding the old life, which is maybe not fully dedicated to your spiritual longing and spiritual yearning. I read during that time a book of this Utkala Valari, it gave me many insights how to develop my divine aspirations, and I will share with you the content of the first verse, the introductory verse. I didn't bring the Sanskrit. Tomorrow I will bring the Sanskrit. Here I just have a translation. Rupa Goswami is in his old age. He has done a lot of sadhana. He has worshipped Govinda Dev. He has found Govinda Dev. He has worshipped his beautiful deities, Radha Govinda, with items from the forest. And he is coming to the fag end of his life. And he one day goes deep into the forest, and there he says to Krishna, to Radha Krishna, "Oh my Lord, oh my mistress, you know I have taken shelter in Vrindavan Dham. I will now tell you something which I tried to keep hidden . I will open my heart and I will reveal the tears, or I will reveal the marks of the tears that have burned marks into my heart. I have tears. Yes, I have a deep longing. You have not yet shown yourself to me, and I long for this darshan. I long for your audience and your direct seva. My dear devotees, can you hear the sound of his prayer? It's a great eagerness and great humility. This eagerness and humility means someone has come to the aspirations of his soul. He is no longer on the physical or mental platform. And it is this eagerness and humility that creates the steam for the engine of bhakti to move forward. In old times, there were these locomotives, and there was coal, and there was fire, and the coal would become very hot, and heat a big vessel of water, and would heat it so much that it would create steam, and then the steam would be diverted, and that power of the steam would start to move the wheels. So your bhakti, your devotion for Krishna, also needs strength. It needs steam, so to say, which comes from a mixture of the eagerness that is in your soul, the not yet fulfilled desire of the soul to have the audience, the loving audience of Radha and Krishna. If we come in contact with a composition like this, the effect is that we hear some of the eagerness from a great soul like Rupa Goswami. And if we open our heart for this, then our hearts start to melt and also develops this eagerness. When you melt luck, it's like wax, but a little bit more hard. When you melt luck and you pour it into the mold or the form of, let us say, an elephant or anything, then that luck will take on the form of the mold. So if you bring your melted heart, your heart that is full of eagerness for Krishna, and pour that into the prayers of Rupa Goswami, then your heart will take the right form, the right, the right type of aspiration, the form of spiritual aspirations. Most of us give our hearts to, I do not know who listens on the phone on this call, to movies, to our life, to our friends. Some are pouring their heart into academia. Others into relationships. Others into projects. And the heart takes on a form like that. They think, if I do this, then the burning of my, the calling of my soul, or the feeling of dissatisfaction will be quenched. I will be all right. I will feel some satisfaction. But it is a mistake. It is wrong. We need to pour our heart in the form of desires for Krishna, because these are the desires which are original. These are the desires that inform body, mind, and wherever else our desires are situated. Let's go back to the origin. Sometimes we need to go back to come to where we come from. So, where desires come from. So, Baladev Vidyabhushana says, Rupa Goswami makes even stone-like hearts melt with his Utkalika Valari prayers. Therefore he is the king of the Bhavuka devotees. That means devotees who have bhava, or who have love for Krishna. See, he brings out the point which we made, that by listening to the verses of Rupa Goswami and understanding these are spiritual desires which he mentions, these are desires which also I have, or let us say myself, my soul has, you will easily develop these desires and feel, oh yes, yes, thank you, Rupa Goswami. That was a good reminder. Now I know. Now I also feel, where is Krishna? And I hope to show you this as we go through some of the verses. I think we would have to have 3 months for this seminar, but we will try to do as much as we can in 3 or 4 sessions. So the idea is, mix the heart with prayers of a great soul, and then the desire creeper of eager longings will also come. It will come out, piercing through all the layers which Mr. Maslow talks about, and which you have seen in your own life, no? It will, you will come to that spiritual place. Rumi says, set your life on fire. That means seek those who can fan your own flames, who can help you, in other words, that your spiritual desires can get some strength and can move on. The way Rupa Goswami will do this, or the place from where he will speak his prayers, is a beautiful place. I am the lost servant of Srimati Radhika. Just like a servant can only feel satisfaction when he is engaged by his kind master, someone who awakes to spiritual life understands, I can only be satisfied when I have again the audience of my mistress or master, and when I serve them. Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandhava makes an amazing point. Amazing, amazing, amazing. He says, from this understanding, which is like a little seed in the heart, that I am a servant of Radha or Krishna, I'm a servant of the Lord. When you fan that little spark, it will grow and grow and grow and grow, and finally your real identity comes forth. You will first maybe understand, I'm a servant of God. Maybe in the very beginning you would say, I'm meant to serve others. Then you will think, well, others are part of God. Then you will think, let me serve God. Then you will ask the question, what is he? How is he? What are his desires? What is his mind? And then you will arrive at the gates of Vaikuntha. You will come to the majestic, awe-inspiring Lord Narayan. But if you desire even a closer relationship, then just looking at him with awe and reverence, if you want to be want to think the Lord is my best friend, then you will move further to Krishna in the and relate to him in the Dasya or Sakya Ras. And if you feel, oh, this is still not my ultimate destination, you will move further and further and further. And finally, you will come to the gate of Srimati Radharani. Like Prabhupada, he used to say, that, oh Radha, my dear Radha, please, Krishna is yours. Please tell to your tell about me to your Krishna. I may be a great fool, says Prabhupada, but if I plead to Radharani, the most compassionate form, whose body melts with compassion, you know, then my request will be fulfilled. I don't have to worry at all. So this is Rupa Goswami's meditation. I'm a lost servant of Radha. I so much desire for her service. Now, this will be the end of this session. Again, I want to come to this point, which is something I wish to impress upon you as my audience. These feelings, these spiritual awakenings, these piercings through the layers is possible when you have contact with devotees of the Lord. The devotees of the Lord are invested by the Lord, or have gotten by the Lord, this particular potency, this particular energy that can awaken a slumbering soul to its true identity, or let us say true desires. Let us start there, true desires. In the contact with those who have love for Krishna, like Rupa Goswami, blessings are available. A Krishna conscious mood is awakened and nourished. And what is maybe more important, Krishna becomes attracted when his devotees congregate and sing the prayers of these great souls. When the devotees sing the prayers of acharyas, Radha Krishna Pranamora Yugala Kisho. It's a song by Narottam Das Thakur, or Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande, song of Rupa Goswami. Oh Lord, let the bee of my mind, which flies everywhere, let it take shelter at the safe shelter of your lotus feet. If we sing these songs, if we associate with these acharyas, then yes, our mood is awakened and nourished, and Krishna becomes attracted. It is said that there is one way to attract Krishna. We always try to serve, we always try to make efforts in our sadhana, but there is one way in which it's not you who tries to go to Krishna, it is where Krishna is attracted and comes to you. And that is when the devotees come together and sing about the Lord. Krishna only reveals himself out of his compassion, and this compassion is aroused in Krishna's heart, says Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. When devotees congregate or come around and sing for Krishna. Now I've given so many online kirtans, and it does not work as well as kirtans when we all come together, when we sing, when we feel the atmosphere rising, and so on. But at the end, I would like to sing a little bit with all of you. I will try to do this. God, Go Krishna is ready. But I want to end this seminar by telling you how the contact with devotees, and in my seminar we will hear Rupa Goswami's realized verses, how this will awaken or bring you to your real aspiration, because your real devotional mood will be awakened. You know, there is, I want to tell you about Gadadhar Bhatta Goswami. I think some of you have heard me introducing him in one of the Kartik inspirations. Gadadhar Bhatta Goswami was a disciple of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. I think you remember Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was an expert on the Bhagavatam. We hear that in his lectures, even Rupa Goswami and the other Goswamis took part. And it is particularly mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita that he knew how to sing the verses of the Bhagavatam with a very melodious voice. This Gadadhar Bhatta was not always a disciple of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. He lived before that in a village in Madhya Pradesh, that's central India. I believe the capital town is Hyderabad. But somehow he used to write songs that were very beautiful, songs about Krishna. So once, and his songs were circulated in the Vaishnava world. So once there was a sadhu who had heard or received a song from this great Vaishnava who lived far away from Vrindavan. But this sadhu lived in Vrindavan, and one early morning he was sitting at the steps to the Radha Govinda Mandir, and he was singing a song of Gadadhar Bhatta, who at that time was still in Madhya Pradesh. So as he was singing, Jiva Goswami comes down the staircase and he hears the melodious voice of the sadhu and listens to the song. The song says something like this. My heart is filled with the color of Syam, the Syam Ranga. Some say that every morning Syam leaves the village of Vrindavan and goes for cow herding pastimes. But I disagree. Syam is always there, and he's always with me. So Jiva Goswami hears this. He asks one of his assistants for a palm leaf, and he writes one verse on the palm leaf. Then he goes to the sadhu and said, "Who composed that song which you have just sung?" Oh, says the sadhu, "Isn't it a beautiful song?" Jiva Goswami says, "It's beautiful, but it is missing the point." The sadhu says, "That is interesting." Jiva Goswami says, "I have a question. Who wrote this song?" The sadhu said, "Yes, one poet who lives in Madhya Pradesh." But says Jiva Goswami, "Find him and give him this palm leaf. He will know what to make out of my message." So big search starts. Two Vaishnavas go from Vrindavan to Madhya Pradesh and go to every town and village to find the poet who wrote this poem. They must have known and had a name, but I only know his later name. So after a long search, they come in a village where there is someone at the village well who takes a shower. When the two Vaishnavas, who are the search party, they say, "Is here some Gadadhar Bhatta?" So they ask for the name of the poet. And the person who takes a shower puts the bucket down and says, "Why do you want to find him?" And they said, we have a message from Jiva Goswami for him. Without drying his body, this man says, "I'm the poet whom you're searching for. Give me that message." So he reads the message of Jiva Goswami. He starts to tremble. Remember, he has not yet dried himself. And he shouts, "Vrindavan, Vrindavan!" And he runs in the direction of Vrindavan. He doesn't explain anything. He just has the message of Jiva Goswami, and he goes and travels to Vrindavan until he arrives in Vrindavan. I do not know how many days it took him, but he was fast. And he meets Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. He takes part in his daily Bhagavatam readings, and after some time he asked Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, "I wish to take Diksha. I wish to take your shelter and take initiation." Raghunath Bhatta says, "Where are you coming?" "I'm from Madhya Pradesh." "What are you doing?" "Well, I used to write poems, but then Jiva Goswami sent a message to me, and when I read Jiva Goswami's message, I understood. I have not understood anything about Krishna." Raghunath Bhatta Goswami asked, "What was his message?" And then he recites. It's only one verse, Listen very carefully. I've tried to find it. Yes, I have it here. Anaratya rada padam bojam vrinam anashritya brinda tavim tatpadankam asambhasya tadbhava gambhiracitam kutasyama sindhu rasavagaha. How foolish are those people who think they can enter into the secret nectar of Syam Rasa without ever having worshipped the dust that sprinkles from Vrindavan's lotus feet. No one can understand Krishna. Without ever having taken shelter of Vrajadham, which is marked with the impressions of Radha's delicate lotus feet, no one can understand the Syama Sindhu, the ocean of Syam. And without ever having spoken to the great devotees of Radha, whose hearts are imbued with deep love for her, no one will be able to understand the Syama Sindhu, the ocean of what is Krishna. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Krishna is only Vraja Krishna in the association of Radha. Krishna only plays his flute in the association of Srimati Radharani and her multiple gopis. Krishna is only fully Krishna, the Lord of Love, in the association of Vrindavan Dham, which is sprinkled with the foot dust of Srimati Radharani. So Rupa Goswami is talking about this Krishna. He is addressing Krishna with Radharani in his Utkalika Valari. He is crying out his heart and expressing his soul's need. And as we hear from these great devotees, our heart also changes. Look at Gadadhar Bhatta. He heard this verse, which I sang to you and translated to you from Raghunath Das Goswami, and it was sent to him by Jiva Goswami. So that is very nice. So we will sing a little bit and try to attract Krishna. And then we will have a little time for questions. Hey. One moment, let me just find it. Krishna, Jaya, Sri Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Si Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Utkalika Valari ki jai, Srila Rupa Goswami, Baladev Vidyabhushana ki jai. My dear devotees, I do hope that there was something for you inside. Maybe my speech has jolted you. Created some space in you, a good space in which you can think what is truly important. We live in a time of big noise. So many issues are discussed hotly. And sometimes this noise drowns out our true aspiration, the real what is really underlying everything. So, yes. So I want to now see if there are any questions. Gaurav Hari, are you here? Yes, you are here. I can see you. I do not know how we should do this with the question and answers. Maybe you can tell us how to proceed from here.
Yes, thank you, Gurmaj. The questions are sent to the chat, to my name directly. So far we have two questions. Usually we ask those who have a question to ask them personally online. But here we have two questions coming from devotees who are not able to do that because there is noise behind or because it's not technically possible. So I will just read the first question myself.
Yes.
So this is from Madhavi Manjari. Mataji, Hare Krishna, Dear Maharaj, Nandavat. I heard that we may go on chanting for lifetimes, or we may go on remembering Krishna for lifetimes unless Krishna hears our chanting or remembers us. We will continue to do those things, but we may not progress in bhakti or reach him. What are the reasons or causes for our supremely independent Lord not to pay attention? In other words, what should we do or make correction?
I would like to give two answers to this question. One answer is very much known, the other is not so often talked about. The reason why the Lord does not listen to someone is when that person commits aparadhas or offenses, because it is these aparadhas that distance the soul from God. Each time we commit these offenses, we become more distant from the Lord. And unfortunately, the offense which is most frequently created is offenses in connection with those who are trying to please Krishna, the devotees. This subject matter, a very sad subject matter, subject matter that makes our hearts tremble, has been discussed many times in lectures which you can hear by devotees, and I will therefore only mention it here to be complete in my answer. The second reason why a devotee can go on chanting for lifetimes is that he fails to make a connection with Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about sambandha, that is the connection or the bond between the soul and the Lord. In chanting, this is very often done. It's you chant, but your mind is active in many other fields. You must know that in your brain there are many departments which are connected by nerves also to various parts of the body. So you may chant with one part of your brain and may try to focus it. That's, I mean, if you want to know it, it's the frontal part of the brain, but the other functions are also active at the same time. For instance, the survival function. You think, oh, why did this person say this ugly thing about me? Or why did he not greet me with a smile? There's something developing which is unwanted. So the survival function or the security function or other functions are also active and pull you. And many times they take on the priority. You're no longer, yes, you're trying to chant, you're trying to focus, you try to look even at a picture of the deities, but your mind is focused on other things which have an emotionally stronger impact on you. This is very often the case. I always pray to Krishna, Krishna, when will all these voices in my mind become one big chore? Chore, it's the German word is chor, you know, an assembly of people who sing together.
Choir.
Choir. When will they become one choir? And I will chant completely. And there are ways in which you can train yourself to do this. It's a rigorous training. It is something which requires a little willpower in the beginning to put it in simple ISKCON language, because that's the language in which we communicate in this Zoom call. You always have to bring the mind back to the mantra and keep it there as long as possible, and let the mantra, let the chanting become deeper and deeper. What Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, he says, you have to bring the chanting from the surface and of the mind and bring it deep. He says, you cannot chant lip deep, you have to chant heart deep. And with heart deep, he means chanting in a relationship with Krishna, where you address something of burning interest, of burning desire to Krishna. Therefore, Madhava Priya, go to those who can fan your flames so that your chanting becomes intense and so on, becomes focused. This is a big subject. I am at the present moment developing a course. It's on level one, chanting level 1, level 2, and level 3. And within this course, it's on 3 levels, I will address this problem. For me, Madhava Priya, and everyone on the call, we have to make this chanting work for us. This is the Yuga Dharma. This is the main sadhana which we have been given in our sampradaya. And we have to learn everything which is there to learn. And never ever think you know about chanting. Always approach it in the beginner's mind. Because unless you chant in real absorption, the chanting will be the background music to your mind, which plays the much louder music in your chanting. Hare Krishna. So the two reasons are aparadas and not yet chanting with Sambandha, where all of what you have is involved in the chanting, and you chant to some degrees still distracted. Also memory, remembering. Yes, you can, the material mind can hold the memory of Krishna for some time, but Atasi Krishna Namadi, the material senses, including the mind, can't grasp the Lord. What is the way out here? Rupa Goswami says you have to somehow turn your face away from this world and turn it in seva to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yes, Gaura Hari, what is the next question?
Thank you, Gumash. The next question is a very brief one.
Yes.
But one devotee is asking how he can properly face our, or actually we can write it as our, how can we properly face our darkness?
With a torchlight. When you go into darkness, don't forget a torchlight, otherwise you might get lost. And what do we mean here? I'm thinking of a conversation which Srila Prabhupada had with the devotees in Tehran. He said, if I keep some secret from you, that is not love. In the same way, if we keep secrets before Krishna, then that is also not love. Be open before Krishna. When you are open about your shortcomings before Krishna, then you have some light, that is the Krishna light. You reveal yourself not without Krishna. Krishna is there. And you can say, my dear Krishna, after so many years, I have still this and this problem. And as you become frank and open, these are two words which Prabhupada uses in the fourth canto with Krishna. My dear devotees, with Krishna the darkness can go. You cannot bring the light alone. The light of your reasoning, the light of your psychotherapy, the light of your insights and so on. That type of light will not be sufficient to light up the inner darkness. But if you bring the light of Krishna, where you sincerely go before the Lord, I always think, go before Radha Madan Mohan. They are such, Radha Madan Mohan. They are really very merciful, very kind, very forgiving, and they want to just see the frankness and the openness, because that is the sign of love. Have you ever been with someone who is really important to you, and you say to this person, oh, I'm sorry, I have this difficulty. I'm sometimes envious of you, or I'm sometimes not in good consciousness. And that person will say, first of all, thank you that you trust me enough so that you can reveal it, reveal your inner struggles. And you know, we always think some people will love us if I hide who I am, and if I try to fulfill expectations that they might have, and in this way fit the social norm. But very often people, at least the mature people, they just want to know, who are you? What is going on for you? Tell me, I want to know. And when we are honest, we feel very much loved and liked. I remember a lecture. We had one lecture in the Tibetan Buddhist Center in Berlin. Very nice place. Next time you come and visit, there's a huge Buddha, a real nice shrine, a sacred room where you can sit alone and pray. So we had a program there with kirtan and with Krishna conscious philosophy. It was a program which Raghunath Das gave I was only a guest there, and so it's a super spiritual place, very nicely decorated, and very nice people. We had because it was during this COVID time, we could only usher or give limited invitations to selected people, and we had very first class people there. They needed to pay an entrance fee and so on. And so Raghunath comes in, he sits down before the Buddha, and he says, I have to be perfectly honest with you, I'm not in good consciousness. I just had a talk with my daughter who cried because my wife and myself have divorced just a week ago, and my daughter begged me, please return, and she was angry with me. So I'm sitting now before you, a broken man. His family has been crushed. I have failed in my marriage. But still, what I have to say is so wonderful that I still have come today here to share it with you. Do you think the audience was thinking, oh, look at him, he's a divorced man, he could not take care of his family? No, the audience says, oh, wow, sorry for you. Well, but if you feel there is such an important message, let us hear patiently. And it became a wonderful program. It started with this self-realization, self-revelation. It is Raghunath style, so I will not comment on it. Because yes, that's him, and in spreading Krishna consciousness, you just have to be the person you are. It has to be real what you say, and then people will try to listen to you and get something from it. Yes, so this is my example to encourage you: be real with Krishna, be open with Krishna. And no, he will not judge you. He will not turn his back to you. He will still accept you because he is the friend of the fallen. Dina Bandhu, he is Kripa Sindhu, the ocean of mercy. Very often we limit ourselves by our own thoughts. Thank you very, very much. I'm looking at the clock here, 7:30. I think we should start. We should end on time. Is this Gaurahari? Will we have a darshan of Radha Madan Mohan today? What is the program? Please tell us.
Yes, thank you, Guru Maharaj. We will end this program. I have just a few announcements, and then we will have a darshan of Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan for the pleasure of all the Vaishnavas. We are very delighted for the opening of the festival. We understood in this lecture that the association of great devotee, Rupa Goswami, yourself, and many other talented speakers that will be presented for this festival will be the solution for us to develop those higher aspirations. And tomorrow, the morning lecture will be given by His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Swami, and day after tomorrow from Sutapa Prabhu, and on the 31st with Krishna Kshetra Swami.
Wonderful.
And in the evening we will keep hearing from you every evening. We'll have some surprise coming close to the end of the festival, and every morning and every evening after the lecture we will have a close darshan of Radha Madan Mohan. And in the evening, it's a very intimate type of darshan, because the deities are just ready to go to bed. So it's very, very beautiful. So we have a great hope by the association with all of you. We will get a strong new inclination, new spiritual inclination. And yeah, we will now go for the darshan. And tomorrow we start at 7:50 Central European time with the lecture, the morning lecture with Kanamba Kanana Swami. Okay, so.
Yes, let me just, before we go to the darshan, let me just remark, my dear devotees, this festival, Sangha Mela, has been going on since many years now, and of course during this time of the restrictions we do it online, but the whole idea is really to have Sadhu Sangha, and today we heard about the power of associating with the realized prayers of the devotees. So I have a little homework for you. Before you go to bed, please take out your songbook and sing a little song from the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jiva Goswami or Rupa Goswami. Sing that and you will see that something will come in your heart. That is my request. Good. So we are now ready, Gaurahari. I'm very eager.
Yes, we are ready.